King Charles III has all the trappings of a great historical play by Shakespeare, but it's set in our near future. It was inspired by a real-life confrontation between the British press and the government. The play is being produced at the Clarence Brown Theater. Director John Sipes tells me what gives this play its Shakespearean elements and how the plot explores a duty to both tradition and the law.
The play begins with the death of Queen Elizabeth II. No one should worry because she's actually still alive. This is a fiction, but it's the death of Queen Elizabeth II, and immediately Charles, who's the current Prince of Wales, becomes the king. And then about three scenes in, we see a meeting between the Prime Minister and the king. And if any of you have watched The Crown, you've seen that those various meetings, you know, between the Prime Minister and the Queen, and most notably with John Lithgow as Winston Churchill and Claire Foy as the Queen. And so in these meetings, the Prime Minister talks to the king about various issues. So this is the first, in our play, this is the first meeting between the Prime Minister and the king. The Prime Minister is prepared to talk about various things, but the king says, you know, I'm interested in this one particular bill on privacy. And it's a bill that is to restrict the freedom of the press. And the king says, I don't like that bill very much. The Prime Minister is shocked by that because if you know Charles and the real Windsor family, they have been tortured and hounded, eviscerated by the tabloid press. So the Prime Minister would imagine that the king would like this bill. But the king, on principle, and this is an admirable thing about this particular version of Charles, on principle, he says, I do not think we should quiet, we should censor, in any way, the press. So the king, in this constitutional monarchy, is supposed to take these bills that come in front of him and simply sign them. And this particular king in our play says, I will not sign this bill. I'd like for you to take it back to Parliament, to discuss it, to think about it. He says, all I want you to do is think about it and bring it back and I will sign it. Well, this is sort of the motivating factor of the rest of the plot, to sign or not to sign. It's very sort of Hamlet-esque. And we for the rest of the play, watch the Prime Minister and the King, the government and the monarchy struggle about this notion of signing the bill. In a constitutional monarchy, the King is supposed to give assent, is the term that's used, for every bill that comes across his desk. So anyway, the fights ensue. There are riots that erupt in the streets, various other kind of political moves that happen. This occupies the entire plot, and now I'll give away the ending. As a result of all of this, King Charles is urged by his family, for various reasons, to abdicate, and he does. And William takes over, William becomes the king, and Kate becomes the queen. And so that is the sad ending of this play. Yeah.
Well, and Shakespeare, of course, lived in a time in which kings were pretty much the standard form of governance, right? And people have said that this play has Shakespearean elements. So what are we talking about specifically?
Yeah, well, there are a number of them, and I can touch on some. I think in the most general way, Bartlett looked to Shakespeare's history plays as sort of the main structure, and I think they're the model. These are plays that depict the lives of, even at that time, legendary kings, now certainly legendary, and sort of chronicles the rise and fall of their lives. These were plays that were sort of teaching plays in a way. You know, Shakespeare wrote them for entertainment, but he could also give instruction to the king, the queen, the aristocracy, about how they might govern. So I certainly see King Charles III in that line, in that structure, in that mold. There are a few others, resonances I can mention. There's a five-act structure in this play, and that's the case with all of Shakespeare's plays. There is a sort of central archetypal figure that controls one, the sort of the main plot. That would be Charles. And his story is written in verse, which is the language of the king. That's certainly what Shakespeare did. Then there are numbers of plots, but then there's a main subplot, which is relatively comic. That would be Harry's plot. And that's in prose for the most part. We also have a ghost, you know, very, very Shakespearean thing. Diana appears as a ghost. It's an interesting thing. Bartlett said that because of Diana's importance in the Windsor family, he felt he had to include her in some way. Of course, she's dead, sadly. So he brought her back as a ghost. And so that's how she appears. So I think those are some of the major connections between Shakespeare. Yeah.
This is called a future history play. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, as I just mentioned, you know, this is in the mode of Shakespeare's history plays. But also, I think it's a glimpse into what could happen. We all know the Windsors, you know, they've been in our lives for a long time. The Queen is going to die sometime soon. Charles may take over. You know, there's a discussion about should Charles become the king or should William become the king. So I think it's a play that muses about the future, you know, with real people. I think it's the uncanny thing about it. We know these people, and we can imagine what might happen. And so I think that's what Bartlett's talking about. It's sort of the possible future. Who knows the future?
And what was your approach in directing this?
Yeah, well, I have directed almost all of Shakespeare's history plays, all except the Henry VI's. And as a fight choreographer, which I am, I have done the battles in all of them many times. And I've directed a lot of Shakespeare's plays. I happen to just love the histories. They appeal to me. I like the sort of dichotomy between the upper class, the monarchy, and the lower class. We have glimpses into the problems of leaders. And in the case of most of Shakespeare's plays, we look into the minds and hearts of these leaders, and as they try to tell us, we're human, just like you. So that's an interesting discussion, I think. And then we also, in these history plays, see a great deal about the common folk of England. So this sort of give and take between these two, the upper stratus and a lower stratus, is interesting to me. So I bring all of that into this play. The history plays, when they're done in period, you know, we have armor and we have all of that sort of thing and trappings, the trappings of monarchy. That interests me. Typically, when I've done them that way. So I sort of feel that presence in this play. But now this is a contemporary play. So we don't have flowing garments and throne rooms and all of that sort of thing, except at the end of the play. So that kind of ancient history, I just find, is in this play, and I've tried to sort of pull it out. And I've struggled with this whole notion of monarchy in a modern time. That is, of course, the crux of the play. I've tried to keep it very simple. The language, as I mentioned, is in verse. It's an iambic pentameter. It's a beautiful text. I think it's part of parts, you know, we do have some pretty gnarly parts that we have to unravel, but Bartlett has written some beautiful language. He has not attempted to imitate Shakespeare, which I think is a good thing. You know, the language is not overly decorated. It's not too complex. Anytime we speak iambic pentameter, because it's sort of our natural rhythm, if a writer is in tune with that, the language just flows. And I think that's the case. We have some very, very fine actors, you know, who are able to do this. So I've tried to find a way to embody this contemporary play with sort of listening to the whispers of the past to inform it.
Well, excellent. Mr. Sipes, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Victor. It's a pleasure.
That was John Sipes. He's directing a production of King Charles III. The play runs from February 8th to the 24th at the Clarence Brown Theater.